The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and you will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and then I prophesied. Suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says Lord God, come from four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and then the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judah again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them.' After saying this, he told them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right.' Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day.' Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she might be going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you were always hear me. But I said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to him, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
19 years ago, much of the Western world looked on with horror as planes crashed into the World Trade Center on the morning of September 11. Buildings fell, people died. We watched as rescuers attempted to clear the twisted rubble and wreckage. These images of death and waste and hopelessness were of massive proportions. One could not help but look out across the distance from the hill, so to speak, across to the valley, to see what had happened in this endless devastation. A city block had turned to rubble and ash. Indeed, a modern-day valley of dry bones. A few years ago, my family, we visited Japan and we went to Hiroshima. 9/11 is minuscule compared to the devastation faced by Hiroshima. These past 6 months, bushfires, local and interstate, have raged out of control for weeks on end, scarring large portions of God's beautiful country. Today, now, a virus pandemic is sweeping the world and causing sickness and death, shutdown, financial travel and human contact restrictions. Some 2,500 years ago, the prophet named Ezekiel saw a vision of a valley of dry bones, a hopeless and desolate place symbolizing the fate of his beloved Israel. I wonder what Ezekiel thought. Life out of death, life from death, life in death. Huge questions. Oh, how we long for resurrection in our personal and our communal lives. Oh, to have faith. Faith in something out of the reach of our control, outside of our experiences. If we cannot grasp the resurrection, then we attempt to at least turn the clock back. But it doesn't happen. And it can't happen. One of the lasting memories that I have still of 9/11 is a picture of firefighters standing at the bottom of the World Trade Center. And they were looking up. The headline of the paper was, "Dead Men Walking." And as I looked at this newspaper article, I experienced, and I still think of that eerie moment. Here were 10 men, alive one moment, photographed, and then, said the report, within a moment of this picture being taken, were dead. There was no resurrection for them, not even resuscitation, no hope and no escape. We who have experienced death in our personal lives and families long for life to return. We want death to happen to somebody else, not in a vindictive way, but not to us. We don't want to face it. But we have to face it. Death comes to each of us. Death is final. Death is death. But death is not the end. 75 years on from Hiroshima, I'm able to walk the streets of Japan, and life seems normal. Yet for an eternal scar. 19 years on from 9/11, I see a picture of New York and Ground Zero with bright lights shining into the sky where once stood tall buildings. And I see these lights as almost spiritual. In a way, they're not tangible. You can't touch them. But the light shines so tall, taller than any building. The lights stand tall in another way. They stand tall in hope. Hope rising from the ashes. Life from dry bones. Jesus said to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even if they die, yet they will live." John's gospel says that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The two stories from the Bible reading today, Ezekiel and the dry bones, and the story of Lazarus, speak more than a physical death and life. They speak of hope, hope that death is not the end of life. Our life, our Christian life, is built on hope. Hope that says in Christ there is new life, new possibilities, new starts, forgiveness for mistakes, healings for hurts, sight for the blind, food for the hungry, liberty for the captives, and life to the dead. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ask God. Can Lazarus really live? Can wars cease? Can virus spread cease? Can drug abuse and suicide cease? Can asylum seekers be free in our land? Can first and second peoples live together in reconciliation? No is the logical answer, but yes is the God answer. Can one be born again, says Nicodemus? Can one see anew, asks the blind man? Can a woman regain social dignity by coming to the well and meeting living water? And can dead men rise to life, asked Lazarus, if Lazarus could speak. Yes, yes, and yes. By the Spirit of God, by the grace and love of God. We are so deep into Lent at the moment, a time to reflect on the events leading up to the death of Jesus, and we meet death face to face in Lazarus. So why the story of Lazarus? That God's work might be displayed, we're told. Lazarus dies, and out of that death experience, God works and Jesus' glory might be seen. So dare we ask, why September 11? Why the Bali bombings? Why the bushfires? Why tsunamis? Why volcanoes and earthquakes? Why COVID-19? World events can shock us back into life, into reality, to waken us from our slumber. Lent and the stories today invite us to look at ourselves and ask, where is the Spirit of God moving in our lives now? Into what areas are we called to prophesy? Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'll make breath enter into you. Live, rise up, wake up. All is not lost, for we have a God who gives life, even in the midst of death. In the words of Jesus and Lazarus, who also speak to our heart in our day, says, come out, be loose, be free, and live. For those who are bound, those who are oppressed, for those who are lost, and for the world that seems shattered, those who experience valleys of dry bones, the good news is this is not the final curtain. It is not the end. When things around you bring you down, Jesus speaks into our lives and says, come alive, rise up. Come, O four winds of the earth, breathe life into our personal circumstances, into our communal circumstances, and even into our global circumstances. Christian faith is built upon resurrection hope. Hope for the future, and more importantly, here and now, in this life, in all of our life. And we hear the words from John chapter 10, and Jesus says, I've come that you might have life. Life in all its fullness. Fullness of life means now rather than later. And when we look at things, when we look at life, the world and pain and confusion, and when we look at actions of evil or the power of nature, when we look outside of ourselves and to others, when things seem to go against us, it's easy to lose hope and become despondent and scared and worried. At times, all we can see is a valley of dry bones. But faith in God, in Jesus, does bring hope. Hope that all is not lost. That we can rise again and replace the old with the new. And as the writer of Lamentations says, my soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. I'm scared. I'm confused. I'm in isolation. So I say, gone is my glory and all that I've hoped for in the Lord. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this thing I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope in God. For the writer of Lamentations and we who face difficult times in our lives, even in the dark side of Easter, we can say with confidence that through every word, Even though our world may fall around us, we have hope in which to cling. A hope that says in Christ all is not lost. For we have faith in a living Lord who has overcome fear and death. So peace be with you this day as we reflect upon the readings from Ezekiel and John's Gospel. Amen. Please join with me as we pray. There are many doorways to cynicism, Jesus, many reasons for despair, many causes for fear. But there is no excuse for giving them ultimate power. Not if we really believe what we claim to believe. Resurrection is real, Jesus. We've touched it, we've seen it. Our own lives bear witness to it, and it constantly reveals itself in our world. And so, in spite of the fear that nags us, in the face of the despair and cynicism that taunts us, in denial of all that would seek to steal life away, we offer you our love, our devotion, and our lives as an offering of resurrection faith and defiant praise.